Hello, everyone. Welcome or welcome back to the Faith Talks podcast. My name is Deborah. I am your host. I am a faith-based content creator. I make content all about my journey with God to encourage you in that, through that, on your journey with the Lord. It's so important. There's so much that God has for you, and we just have to be reminded of that constantly because the agenda of the world is to pull us away from the Lord. But you belong with your Heavenly Father, okay? You've been created for God, for the source. So yeah, that's what Faith Talks is all about, to just remind you where you belong and who you are and what God wants to do for you and all of these exciting things. So it's such a blessing to have you here. Welcome, welcome. And in today's Faith Talks episode, I want to talk about being lukewarm. I want to have a conversation about what it means to be lukewarm. Where does this term come from? Like, what is this all about? We hear it a lot, lukewarm Christians. I used to be lukewarm, but I guess I didn't take it seriously. And I want to talk about it today because it absolutely is a serious thing. And I think that recently the Lord has really been pulling his children back towards him. You can see this, like, on social media, you can see it happening, and just also in people around me, I can see it in my own life. That's what happened last year. Like, the Lord is really pulling us back in towards him to take us out of that lukewarm state. So let's talk about it. And I want to start off by reading some scripture where it speaks about this term lukewarm. And it just says a few things about it. So let's read it. And this is found in Revelation 3, verse 15 to 20, I want to read. So it's quite a bit. But there it says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." So this is quite a lot in this piece of scripture, but I think this is so key. At the beginning in verse 15 to 16, where it speaks about being neither hot nor cold, that's what we're talking about, being lukewarm. When visualizing it, being lukewarm is like, you know, there are two sides. There's a side of the light and there's darkness. It's either light or dark. There's no in between. And when you're lukewarm, you're trying to find that space in between. You're creating a space in between by putting one foot in the light, in the kingdom of God, and one foot in the darkness, in the world. And there you are standing with your legs like this, trying to be both. And in this piece of scripture, we're just being told that it doesn't work like that. The Lord is saying, "I wish you were either hot or cold. Like, choose one." Because being lukewarm is still being in the darkness. The Lord says, "I still reject you when you're in that state of being lukewarm." And I just want to say as well that everything that I'm going to be speaking about and everything that I'm going to be mentioning, I'm mentioning it with grace and understanding. I'm not coming from a place of judging and condemning you because I've been there. I've lived a lukewarm lifestyle. Oh my goodness. I've been there where I used to go to church on Sunday, but during the week, I was doing a lot of things that had nothing to do with Jesus. I was saying that I was a Christian, but putting out a completely different image to people around me. And that's so dangerous because we represent the name of Jesus completely wrong when we do that. We put out the wrong image to the world of what a life with God is like. I remember that when people would question me, people in the world would be like, "Oh, but aren't Christians supposed to do this and this? You know, like, how come as a Christian that you're doing this and this?" And I would always argue and defend my case, not based on scripture, clearly. For example, if somebody would question me getting drunk all the time, I thought Christians weren't supposed to do that, I would say things like, "Oh, well, those are just the religious people who follow those rules," and da 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 da. It's like completely going against the word of God. Like, being lukewarm I was rebuking scripture, speaking against the truth, because in the word of God, it actually does say to not indulge in drunkenness and that you're a fool when you rely on alcohol to get through your days. Like, that's not what God has for us. But imagine being in that lukewarm state so much that you start to speak against the truth. Like, how can you say that you're a Christian when you speak against what Jesus tells us in the word? That's what I used to do when I was lukewarm. When you are lukewarm, first of all, you have to admit that you are. You have to look at your life and say, you know what? I've been living a Sunday kind of religion. It's not a relationship. You have to, first of all, identify that and be honest about it. And that's where you can move on. That's where you can lay that down at the feet of Jesus. It's being honest. Like, God already knows everything we're feeling anyways. He already knows that we might be mad at him. We might be upset. We might not understand. But I think the worst thing you can do is to just pretend and not be honest with the Lord as if he doesn't know. Be honest with the Lord about being lukewarm. That's that first step towards freedom. And then next, you have to ask yourself, why? Why am I in this state? Why am I okay with being in this state, quote, unquote, okay with it? Because again, when I look at when I was lukewarm, you are still in church and you're hearing the messages. I was hearing so many messages about being lukewarm, yet I was continuing on in that lifestyle. So what was going on there? Is it because you're not taking it seriously? When you're lukewarm, you're missing that fear of the Lord, right? You're not living in that respect for God. Let's be honest. You're not respecting his word when you're being lukewarm. And again, I'm saying this because I used to be there. Please don't leave comments being like, how could you say that? Because this walk, all of this is about feeling that conviction in your spirit. You are supposed to feel uncomfortable when there's a word about being lukewarm and you are lukewarm. You have to feel uncomfortable. Because whenever I say things like this, I always get comments like, you need to watch what you say. No, like, I'm always leaving a disclaimer. I've been there. But also, when I was in that state, I needed to hear these messages about the truth. The truth is the truth. If the truth makes you feel uncomfortable, then there's something wrong, clearly. Ask yourself, why? Why am I okay being lukewarm? Why am I not taking this seriously? Is it unbelief that you're dealing with? Is it not trusting that God truly knows what's best for you and therefore you're doing things that the Bible tells us not to do? You know, everything that the Word of God says in here, not to indulge in our sexual desires, not to get drunk, all of these things are put in place to protect you. They are there to protect you. And the agenda that the world pushes out is the complete opposite. I think that it's so funny when I look back at the things that I was indulging in, all the things that I was doing that the Bible told me not to do. And I was like, well, I'm doing these things because I'm free. Like, my body is my body. But it's those specific things that would leave me feeling miserable afterwards. So how are we so deceived that sleeping around, that getting drunk, that being high on certain substances is fun when you become enslaved because you don't want to feel the low, right? You constantly are pushing for the next high. And second of all, it's the thing that leave you miserable in the first place. So why, like, what's going on there? It's so distorted, and that's what the enemy does. He has us all fooled. When you identify your why, you can bring that to the Lord and ask him for help. Even if your prayer life, it has been dead for a long time, go to God. Sit down in a quiet space and say, Lord, will you help me with my unbelief? Will you help me step out of this state of being lukewarm? I don't want to be here anymore. A friend of mine said it so beautifully recently. She said that when you're lukewarm, you're living in a half-truth, right? And because you're living in a half-truth, you're living half a life. You're living half of everything that God has for you. Probably not even half. You're only, if you only feed yourself with the word on Sunday and you only are in a place of worship on a Sunday, then you only get a glimpse of what God has for you. I think that lukewarm people keep each other in a lukewarm space because when you're lukewarm, you affirm certain things that are not okay. I've been in churches where everybody is during the week doing something completely different. And on a Sunday, we all come together and worship the Lord. But then during the week, we're having conversations about, oh, girl, like, do you know that I slept with this guy yesterday? Like, what do you think about that? Like, oh, go for it, girl. Like, we're enabling the behavior. When you're serious about stepping out of the state of being lukewarm, you have to surround yourself with people who are standing on the truth, not on a distorted self-made version of the truth, because that's what we do. That's what I used to do. Oh, but doesn't the word of God say that as a Christian, you're not supposed to have sex before marriage? Oh no, like that was only mentioned in the Old Testament. That doesn't count anymore. Girl, what? Like, what do you mean it's in here? It's creating our own version of the truth and having people around us who enable us to do that because they are in that same space. You will be stuck. Again, you will be stuck in living that half-truth, that half-life. And I just want to read Leviticus 20, verse 26, where it says, "You are holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." We are meant to be different. Being a Christian is not meant to look like the world, yet being able to say, I'm a Christian, yet I'm doing all of these things. If your life looks the same as all your friends who are living in the world, then there's something wrong. There's something not right because you were never meant to look like everyone in the world. You are meant to be set apart. You are meant to be different. Going back to the scripture that we read in the beginning in Revelation 3, verse 15 to 20, it says that the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Yes, this walk with God is, it's not always an easy one. Let's be honest. Walking with Jesus is not easy. There are things that he's going to call you to lay down. It's a journey of sacrifice, of being disciplined. And maybe that's what's keeping you from stepping out of this life of being lukewarm, because you're like, well, why would I want that? Why would I want this difficult journey when I can just take the easy route? But isn't in this life everything worth having? Isn't there a process required for that? Like, the best things in life are not easy to obtain. When we look at the drift, like a drift away from God, the drift is easy. Visualizing it, sitting in a boat when you've stopped paddling, clearly you're doing something else, maybe you're chilling, you're gonna drift away. Like, you don't have to work for a drift. It's actually being intentional, picking up the paddles. Are they called paddles? I don't know, the things that you row with. Picking up those things again to go back to your destination, that takes intentionality. That's actually what takes work. But doing that is actually gonna get you to your destination. It's actually gonna get you to where you need to be. Whereas the drift is gonna get you nowhere real fast. It's gonna get you somewhere you don't wanna be. So then we can ask ourselves, isn't being lukewarm just a form of laziness? Let's be honest here. Again, not to judge anyone because I've been there, but being lukewarm is taking the easy way out. Clearly you don't wanna put in the intentionality, put in the work to become consistent at reading the word. You don't wanna face this fight against your flesh. You just want to give in. It's easy. The drift is easy. It's easy to live your life in the world and put a stamp on it of, I'm still a Christian though. Are you? Listen, Jesus tells us to pick up our cross daily. It is not easy. It's a daily choice. It's a daily thing of fighting against our flesh, fighting against the enemy. But like it says in this piece of scripture in Revelation, God is a good father. What good parent doesn't discipline their children when they're going the wrong way, when they're doing something that's harming them, that's harming you as a parent? Like, how can you say that you love your kids when you're leaving them in their sin, when you're leaving them in their blindness? Of course, God is going to call us out of the things that keep us stuck in this half life. Half truth means half a life. Jesus wants you to live life and live it to the full. And how do you live that with him? When you go to him, when you see the importance of, it's a relationship. It is not a religion. It's that relationship with the Lord that transforms everything. I mention my testimony a lot. I mean, I'm the living proof of this, that when you lay down your desires, when you lay down everything that you have for yourself in this life that you think is so great, when you lay this down, God is going to give you things that you can't even think about right now. That's how incredible the life that God has for you is. I always mention my testimony, and God did some incredible things, right? He moved me from a tiny mold-infested room to my own one-bedroom apartment, and these things are great, but it's not about this. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I mention this verse a lot. I have it framed in my flat because this verse for me changed everything. It was like a light switch went on. All these things are mentioned in this verse, but the kingdom of God is first. A relationship with Jesus is the main thing. That's the sweetest thing above all. That transformation started to happen while I was still in that tiny room with the mold. I saw Jesus in such a way, I fell in love with him. So I was able to pray different prayers. Lord, of course, I want to move out of this place. But first of all, you know that. Second of all, I trust you. If I have to stay here for much longer than I anticipated, of course, that's probably going to hurt. It's going to be difficult. But I trust you with it. I know that you know what's best. That's where that living life and living it to the full starts. It's not on these things. Like it says in that Bible verse, Matthew 6, verse 33, the things, they're just additions. They're just add-ons. Stephanie Gretzinger says this so beautifully. I love this woman. Oh my goodness, I love her. She's so in love with Jesus, and it radiates from everything. When you see interviews that she does, she's an incredible worship leader, has written so many beautiful worship songs, but she really brings it back to, it's about Jesus though. It's not about the platform. We turn worship into something it was never meant to be. Like, hearing her speak always makes me emotional because I'm like, wow, this is so true. Do I still have that heart for Jesus where it's just about him? And that's what I want to tell you. When you are lukewarm and you're like, I don't know how to get out of this, just sit with Jesus. You have to know that he loves you so incredibly much. I mean, the love that he has for you isn't found in this world. It's not found here. God loves you so much. And it's when you sit with him and you allow him to come into your space, when you just focus on him, that all these things around you, this lifestyle that you might be living in, your taste palette will change. It will shed off of you. It's like taking a shower. You don't get clean before you step into that shower. You step in the shower to get clean. Let the love of the Lord clean you. When you walk with Jesus, when you fall in love with him, when you experience his love for you, the things that he doesn't find fun, you won't find them fun either. Like, who you hang out with is who you become like, right? And that's what I said about hanging out with lukewarm friends. You're going to affirm each other. But when you hang out with people who, for example, love horseback riding, super random, but hang out with those people long enough and all of a sudden you'll be like, so what's up with this horseback riding? Like, should I get into it? You'll start to develop an interest for that. Whereas if you hang out with someone who hates it, you're probably also not going to find it very interesting. We become like who we hang out with. You as a child of God deserve so much better. You deserve so much better. There's so much more that God has for you. His grace for you is sufficient. This journey is a journey of walking, falling, getting back up. His grace will cover you. You are a child of the Most High. God is patient. He is kind. And that's just the thing. Like, when you're lukewarm, you're robbing yourself from experiencing that deep relationship with Jesus. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than knowing the one who created you, than spending time with the one who loves you most. Again, that love isn't found here. Like, I just really pray that this comes across and that it hits your spirit. And that's what I pray in the name of Jesus, that you'll be able to be like, okay, let me give you my all, Jesus. Stephanie, again, she says it so beautifully. She says, God doesn't ask for a lot. He just asks for everything. And I know that doesn't make sense, but when you get it. God doesn't ask for it. He doesn't ask us to follow these rules and step into these patterns. No, he says, bring everything to me, sit with me, and then let's walk through these things. You'll see. And I pray that you'll get to experience that for yourself. I just want to end by reading some scripture from Matthew. This is found in Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. There it reads, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few find it. That's quite sad. The Lord wants you to find this path, though. He wants you to walk this. My friend Mariah described these roads so beautifully. She was like, if you see that wide gate or the wide road, the one that the enemy tries to lead us down, it's like Vegas. It's like lights, distractions, noise, So it's easier to fixate on that. It's actually being intentional. Like Matthew 6 verse 33 says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek. You have to, it's like a little, she described it as a little candle. The narrow road is like a little candle. It's hard to find it in between the lights of Vegas when you are fixated on that. When you're affirming, when the people around you affirm that lifestyle, it's actually seeking the kingdom and finding it that leads to that narrow road. The Lord wants you to find that. The word of God also says, seek and you will find, you know, knock the door will be open, but seek and you will find. Going back to that Bible verse in Revelation, Jesus knocks on the door. Anyone who hears, I've said this before, but when you're so distracted, when you are in your apartment, you have music playing, you're watching things on TV, you're not going to hear the knocking on the door. No way you're going to hear someone knocking, gently knocking on the door. And that's what the enemy's agenda is, to keep you distracted, to keep you in this lifestyle so you don't hear the knocking of the Lord. It's actually when you sit back in that quiet place that you hear a knock. It's like, wait a minute, what is that? Do I hear a knocking there? Open the door. Jesus wants to come and eat with you. That's like the most intimate thing, to sit around the table with the one who created me, with the one who created the heavens and the earth. Are you kidding me? Yes, sign me up for that. Resist the evil one. I rebuke it over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke any spirit of unbelief, any spirit of doubt, fear, and laziness. I rebuke all of those things over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You've been called for so much more. Life is found in that narrow path. You know, we haven't even spoken about the eternal consequences of living in a life of lukewarmness. This life here on earth is only a glimpse of what's to come. Eternity is much longer. And the way that you live your life here determines where you're going to spend eternity. It's either going to be with God or without Him. And He wants you to live life with Him. So be intentional about seeking that narrow path, because once that day comes where we stand before the Lord, the worst thing for you as a follower of Jesus should be to come to the end of your life, stand before your Creator, and for Him to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That should be something that's on your mind. It's that fear of the Lord that the word speaks about. The fear of God is not to be afraid of Him, but it's afraid to be without Him. It's being afraid to spend eternity without Him. Again, there's only one or two options. You spend eternity with or without Him, and He wants to spend it with you. He wants to be with you, but you have to make that choice. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. You have to take that step first. The Lord is love. He will never push Himself on you. Love is not pushy and demanding. He gives you that choice. If you don't want to make that choice for Him, then as it says in the Bible, then make that choice, but don't pretend to be half in when you're completely out. I'm praying for you, and I pray that this message will speak to your heart in a loving way. The main thing about Jesus, about our God, is that He is love. He acts out of love. He's patient. He's kind. But like we can see from Jesus's life, He always calls His people to repentance. He would not be love if He allows us to continue in our sinful ways, knowing that it hurts us. He always calls people to repentance. The woman at the well, He says, repent, sin no more, turn from your old way of life. So I pray that you see the importance in that, and that the Lord will, that He will speak to you, that you will open that door in your heart. If you don't know where to start, pray. Pray is such a key part. Praying and opening the Bible again. When I was lukewarm, I didn't even have a Bible anymore at one point. Like, buy a physical Bible and start sitting down and read. Start at the Gospels, the amazing place to start, to just read about Jesus walking this earth. Read about His character. This is like an opening to His heart, who He is, His heart for you. Start reading the Bible again and just sit down in prayer and be honest. Like, honesty. God wants your honest heart. He doesn't want a polished version. He doesn't want a version that pretends that you're fine when you're not. Be honest, be raw. That's what the Lord wants. So yeah, that's it for today. I am praying for you. The Lord loves you. He cares for you, and He sees you. You might feel unseen right now, but God sees you exactly where you're at. He's with you, and He just wants you home. Like that prodigal son, the father was waiting. God is waiting from you afar. He's prepared a table. Go and sit with Him, dine with Him, okay? It's been such a blessing to have you here. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll be back again next week for another Faith Talks episode. Maybe this time that's what I get.